now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is Louisa Love. The website is Louisa Love Radical Freedom. Louisa has her own kinesiology course. She conducts workshops and retreats. She's very much into self-reintegration, healing, and she is very well-versed and understanding of the spiritual warfare component behind a lot of the things that happen here in our surface world. So without any further ado, Louisa Love, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hi, James. Thank you very, very much for having me here today. And as you know, I feel so passionate to be actually speaking about my experiences because I do feel it is really relevant for what is going on right now in the world around us. I'll start by sharing a little bit about my past and how that relates to the experiences that I've had more recently, which involves a lot of extraterrestrial experiences and also anomalous trauma, and just how that all relates to what is going on. Just what's going on right now. So I originally come from South Africa, where I grew up in a family, a very, very Christian family. There's a lot of Christian programming that I've had to untangle. And there was also something that's been a very much a theme in my life, and that still is something that is, I feel like this is very much part of my purpose here as a soul, actually, is to unravel this further, not only within myself, but also on the outside. So looking at how this happens in the world outside of me. But it is this notion of kind of spiritual bypassing and enabling. So it's something I've been witness to since I was very little. In other words, something that I saw, for instance, in my family home would be a lot of arguing, a lot of fighting, a lot of abuse, a lot of trauma in the home environment itself. But then we would go to church and there would be lots of smiles and lots of, you know, caring cuddles and hands would be in the air. And it was just so different. And I just remember even as a child back then, I would think, God, I just don't want to be like this. I want the good stuff, but I want to have it all the time. I don't just want it some of the time. And that's how my little child mind was thinking at that time, because of course, that in itself is also a bit of a bypass. But I just remember seeing, you know, that stark contrast, and it really bothered me. And part of what happened there was also my own abuse. So I was sexually abused by my mother's father for quite a number of years. And he was a deacon in church. He was a very well respected person in the community. And again, it's the classic case of abuse being enabled because of, you know, the person that he portrays himself to be in society. But then behind closed doors, it's a very, very different, the story changes and it's very damaging. And I saw it also in the relationship between my mother and father, my mother being also projecting her own trauma onto my father and us, and being very abusive. And my father, who had a very, very abusive father himself, just enabling that by either, completely just ignoring what's going on, or literally just not even being there, just going off or almost kind of locking himself in his study and just doing his work. And again, it was this clear setup of the kind of sort of narcissistic abusive behavior, but that can only actually really happen if there's the enabler, or the empathic enabler, or the avoider, and then of course that abuse can just continue to take place, and that is what happened to me. And I just remember, I mean, I didn't think about it the way I do now. Of course, when I was back then, I was just trying to survive it all, but I just remember always having a sense of this is not fair, like this is so unjust, and wanting true justice in my life. And you know, that there were a number of things that happened that was just so, that just you know, they were just outright really, really, really unfair. And for instance, when all the abuse surfaced and it came to light, I was nearly 11 years old at that stage. And I think it took about a year before my parents, they basically said to me, well, we're Christians and you've got to forgive him and he's going to come back into the house again. And, you know, the level of, it's almost like, it is like being abused again, because here are the people you trust and they are allowing the abuser back into your home environment, an environment that's meant to be safe. And I just remember feeling this outrage and anger and being told that that was bad, that that was wrong, and that I just should smile and forgive. And so, of course, what then ended up happening was a lot more trauma. And, you know, age 15, I even attempted to end my life. There were a lot of very, very traumatic relationships I entered into. I also then tried to escape all the trauma by getting into drugs. And this was around my late teens, early 20s. So again, enabling. But also one of the biggest how can you call this? Also like a spiritual bypass in many ways for me was wanting a relationship, a romantic relationship to save me and to help me and to make it all go away. So I would have these fantasies. If I wasn't in a relationship, I would always fantasize about being in a relationship and being with someone who would be perfect and who would love me so deeply that all my wounds would heal. And of course, you know, as we know, that never, ever, ever works out that way. But I did meet someone in my mid-20s. We ended up marrying and we had a very, very deep, very codependent relationship. And that then took me in my mid-20s. This is when I left South Africa and I came to stay in the United Kingdom. And I stayed in London at that stage with my ex. And at that point, about a year into our relationship, I became very ill physically, non-surprising, because all the trauma, unaddressed trauma from my past, but also the fact that I was constantly put on antibiotics as a child. So what ended up happening was my body, age 25, just collapsed. And I became just extremely tired, very, very ill. And I was depressed, anxious, and I just didn't know what to do anymore. It was a really, really difficult time of my life, but it was also the beginnings of my first awakening to my path. Because I started searching for healing in the alternative, I started looking for alternative ways to heal myself because the doctors didn't know what to do with me. And so at this point, I tried a number of different therapies, a number of different things. None of it really touched sides until I met a kinesiologist. And this is why I do what I do today, because I've also studied kinesiology. And then within about, I'd say, 4 months, my physical symptoms had, I'd say, 95% completely gone. I was doing so much better. And I was just blown away by the power of that particular healing modality. And then the real deep inner work really began, where we launched into doing deep trauma clearing. I would see her monthly for about 10 years. And we just started doing very deep unraveling of patterns and trauma. And this served me really well. But unfortunately, at the same time, I also became very interested in the new age. And I know that this is a well-known tale. And I know that you are very aware of this as well, James, just all the, again, enabling and spiritual bypassing that goes on in the new age. And so unfortunately, I had one foot in that kind of ungrounded reality. And then I had my other foot in a very real, very, very decent psychological processing and spiritual healing as well. So I had both. There was a point maybe about 10 years in where I really ramped up the inner work, where I was doing a lot of inner work on myself daily. And I remember that at that stage, I was just feeling lighter and clearer. I wasn't getting triggered anymore emotionally by my partner. And I actually ended up healing myself out of that codependent relationship. So in other words, I came to a point where I knew that I couldn't stay in the relationship any longer. Like that, even though I still loved him, I knew that I had to walk away because it wasn't serving me anymore. And that was the toughest, the most difficult thing I've ever done, because, you know, this was a person in my life who I felt for the first time, really, I felt safe with him. I felt loved by him. And it was really, really, really tough walking out of that, you know, walking away from that relationship. And so it's very interesting to note that then within days after leaving him, that's when I had my spiritual awakening. This was 2013. So it was stepping out of that codependency. And unfortunately, again, because of all that new age programming, I really believe now in hindsight, this is why my awakening was hijacked. And it was also because I wasn't, you know, I still had wounds. I still had shadow work to do, and that I'd been bypassing with because of a lot of new age programming. And of course, I take full responsibility for that as well, because I, you know, that's what I'd attracted into my life at that point. But nevertheless, at that stage, I was so ignorant, and, you know, I just couldn't believe actually what was happening in my life at that point, because, you know, I had this immense awakening experience, but within days after this experience again, I started experiencing abductions. So I was then abducted by extraterrestrials, by the Greys. And also they did experiments on me. They started to implant me with very, very strange implants. Now, this is something that's quite interesting, because I can really describe them pretty well. They were kind of like organic, half alive. They can grow in the body. They can move, but very slowly. It's also, they seem to be multifunctional. They can even like drop thoughts into your head. So it's part of a type of mind control. It can also cause pain within your muscular system. And basically, you know, night after night, and this went on for about 6 months or even more, I was abducted. And not only was I going through abduction experiences, but I was also seeing a lot of discarnate souls. So deceased, you know, human souls would come to me and latch onto my light at that point. And that was also very, very difficult to deal with, because I had absolutely no idea how to cope with what was going on at that stage. And I had two small children, and I was going through a divorce. I was moving home, and everything in my life had literally just completely shattered and fallen apart. So not only was I stepping out of the matrix, but I was all now, because the New Age programming was, oh, we're ascending and it's all going to be amazing and wonderful. And, you know, there are some wonderful angels and ETs. But my experience was the opposite. It was like waking up to the horror of actually what's going on here on Earth, and that this is actually more like a farm, and that humans are being fed off, and that that we're not really ascending at all. And so it was just a massive shock. And it's not something I've read in a book. This is not something that I've studied. It is something that I have experienced and that I know to be true. So this is also part of why I feel my story at this stage, James, is so important, because this is something that's coming from my own experience. So I don't know if you if you have anything to say at this stage.
I was gonna ask about when the ET element became apparent in your consciousness. Were you still a young girl at the time you were undergoing the abuse, and then you started noticing this unusual phenomena around you as well?
You know, it's so interesting, James, because I know with a lot of people who've had who have extraterrestrial experiences, that this is something that they tend to experience from a very young age, or they will have memories that would surface. For me, that hasn't happened yet. I honestly, before my awakening experience in 2013, I was really in my reality at that point. I was just in this matrixy kind of this Maya illusion, you know, just in this world where there was this false sense of safety, I guess, that everything was just transparent as it was, you know, that the governments would, you know, had our best interests at heart, and that, you know, everybody was just doing their best. You know, I just had this really simplistic, ignorant kind of, you know, childlike, view of the world. And then plus all that New Age kind of programming as well. I know, I kind of like knew that, I kind of felt, you know, that there were angels around, and I didn't even think about extraterrestrials. You know, that didn't even really come into my consciousness. I just thought of, I thought of it as in, oh, the good angels, and maybe there are some, you know, bad demonic beings, but, you know, I'm not going to focus on that. And then that will never enter into my reality. That's just part of that New Age kind of programming of, you know, what you focus on, you're going to get more of. And so initially, when I did go through that awakening, I really thought there was something very wrong with me. You know, I was like, what is going on here? Like, I must be really, really bad if this is happening to me. Because again, that was all part of that entrainment with the New Age, is that, you know, you can only experience possession or kind of, you know, this type of attack if your consciousness is really low, which I've discovered obviously since that's not true. I mean, obviously that is also true. That can be true, yes. But also as we awaken, we can also attract, especially like with my story, if we still have unhealed wounds and traumas, we can most certainly also attract a type of attack if our boundaries are not intact. And at that stage as well, if you can imagine, with all the sexual abuse that I'd gone through and with all the entrainment, like my boundaries were so weak, so I didn't really have very strong boundaries at all. And that's how they got in. And I can just, you know, a lot of the abduction experiences, my memory was wiped, but I do know, I do have some memories. So I do know. And also I knew it was at certain times I knew it just, I would just know, okay, I've been abducted again. So it's like being dropped off, like in my bed. And I could then feel things moving about my body. And things just got stranger and stranger. And I also started attracting clients who also had extraterrestrial experiences. And again, never before my awakening had I any, you know, this is what makes, I think, my story quite interesting, because I just didn't even research it. I wasn't interested in it. I just thought, oh yeah, it's something that's in the movies, and it's, yeah, it didn't really come into my consciousness. So it was a massive shock for me. 2013, just after that awakening, it was a huge shock when I realized what was actually going on. And it was a big shock. But now, in hindsight, again, you know, I've had 7 years to process, and I've literally been on a journey the last 7 years of, you know, just clearing my field. And, you know, from a much higher perspective, you know, we can also see that there's an opportunity for very deep growth. So when, you know, because with everything that happened to me, I was very much shown where all my wounds still were, you know. So it's like years of wound, years of trauma. So this is where this implant is still feeding off. And as soon as I'd heal that wound, as soon as I would heal the trauma, and I would do sufficient, say, meditation techniques or work with various different mental body clearing and also emotional body clearing techniques, then the implants would go. So I began to realize that, okay, this stuff is actually, you know, it's also serving a purpose from a higher perspective. It's kind of showing me where I need to work or where the work needs to be done. So it's been a very, very interesting, quite a mad but interesting journey. And, you know, it took me a number of years to really come to terms with the fact that, you know, this world is not what I ever thought it to be, and that actually there is quite a sinister agenda taking place here. And you know, it's not, you know, people don't really want to hear that. People want to hear the love and light, and that's why the New Age is booming still, and why people are still in that psyop, because people want to have hope, and people want to, you know, they want to be hopeful, and they want to think that everything's going to be fine, and we're all ascending, and we don't even have to do anything because the waves of, like, you know, the solar flares are doing it for us, or some good ETs are going to come and you know, save us. So again, it's kind of playing into that hopeful, childlike yearning that I think so many of us have. So it's a really important part of our journey is to toughen up, to get really, really strong in our field, very strong in our boundaries, and to start seeing through the lies and the deceptions and all the, you know, the bullshit. So yeah.
Yeah, I agree. The New Age is in itself a control system, and I liken it nowadays, especially to a form of cosmic socialism, where one gets the impression when they're really immersed in the New Age philosophies that there's really not a lot of work to do. I mean, there's no self shadow work. There's no real delving into one's own trauma. Everything is projected outwards, and we have this ideal, or they have this ideal, to just go to higher and higher dimensions without first doing the internal work. Now, with the benefit of hindsight, Louisa, can you look back and see what aspects of the New Age perhaps not necessarily hindered your growth or your healing or reintegration, and not even necessarily derailing it or sidetracking it, but perhaps kind of just, you know, slowed down or hindered the process somewhat? Were there certain aspects of the New Age which you can pinpoint that played a role in this?
Absolutely. And the thing is, it is complicated, because actually, like, some of the, say, for instance, some of the spiritual bypassing that is out there, a lot of the things, statements that are, you know, flying around, a lot of it is very true, but they are very higher truths that are jumped to prematurely, because, you know, it's kind of like not wanting to face the work in between, if that makes sense. So, for instance, I had this belief, and this is when I was very much in my relationship, when I was with my ex. And yeah, I had this belief that I should just accept him exactly as he was. And there was, you know, even if that meant there were some abusive behaviors. And again, that's, it's to misunderstand actually a very important teaching, because acceptance of what is actually a really a beautiful teaching. But it's something that I misunderstood. I used it as a means to bypass as well. And I think a lot of people misunderstand a lot of these higher order kind of teachings, if that makes sense. So it's like I saw accept everything as it is, as yes, I have to enable as well abusive behavior, or forgive, you know, forgive those around you, for they know not what they do, or whatever it is. Oh yes, I have to. This means I you know, should just forgive everyone and enable abuse. Whereas now, in hindsight, I know that the truth is, yes, it is about accepting that things are the way they are, but that doesn't mean that you stay in an abusive relationship, or that you stay, you know, witness to without saying anything when you actually see injustices taking place, or people being, you know, abused or anything like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes, it does. And did a peer group of some sort play a role with the New Age? Because I've spoken to friends that, from that standpoint, went through a similar experience. And what they told me, at least some of them, was that when they began to question or break away from the New Age programming and the New Age philosophies, there seemed to be someone there to pop up to kind of try to reel them back in and say, well, you just, you know,
absolutely,
lack of a better term, spiritually unevolved, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I experienced this, and I think it happens not only in this 3D reality, but that also happens in the astral. So it's like, you know, I had my awakening, and then even at that, then I started getting involved with teachings where people were still speaking about the truth of the extraterrestrial stuff going on this planet, but they would also then spin it with things like, yeah, but we don't have to do anything because actually all of this is already healed. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, again, saying, well, you don't have to, you know, you don't actually have to do the inner work because it's already, you're already saved. It's all going to be fine. Yes, and so initially, that was those were the teachings that I kind of was tuned into just after my awakening. And I was like, oh, this is so weird. Like, okay, so these people, they're aware of the ET thing and they're saying this. And then I had to break through deeper and deeper kind of layers of that New Age programming so that I could really, you know, come to a place of the truth, which is no, actually, hang on. This is actually another psyop trying to just create complacency. And actually, this is the very last thing I need to be right now, is to be complacent. I need to do the inner work. And actually, this is where personal responsibility and, you know, plays such a huge role. And it's so important to really look at, to be willing to look at ourselves and to do that inner work, to really unravel our own wounding, our traumas. And this is not an easy thing, as you know. It's, you know, you have to be able to, or be willing to do this from various different angles. So it's not just psychological processing, but it's also, you know, like soul retrieval and, you know, mental body clearing, like, you know, learning how to be able to really control the mind as well, how to become the master of the mind. It feels better to say that. But So yeah, so that's what I would say. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier also that there was an astral component to this New Age, probably archontic manipulation. Would you like to elaborate on that? Because that sounds interesting.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there are false light beings that, again, they will come, they can come to you, say in your dream state or in your sleep state, and they will portray themselves as, you know, being the good guy. This could be from anything from, say, Archangel Michael, or, you know, like an archangel or an ascended master, or some kind of a group entity being or thing. There's a lot of what I noticed as well in the beginning when I first broke through, the Matrix. So at the very beginning baby stages, there was a lot of information that was coming to me around, for instance, the Galactic Federation of Light, you know, and, you know, these are kind of like groups that are actually in the astral or in the fourth density that are saying, we are here to help you. We are watching over you. We're going to come and save you. Don't worry. We're all aware of what's going on with the reptilians. We're all aware of what's going on with the greys. And don't worry, you know, we're your brothers and sisters. And soon we're going to come and you can come with us. And we're going to take you away on our spaceship. And you're going to, you know, you're going to be just fine. And again, that's another, it's another form of deception. So as within, so without, as above, so below. It doesn't just happen here on this earth plane, but it's also happening, yeah, in the astral. And it's very dangerous because many, many people are falling for it. And this is the thing, is we have to become so watchful and so like vigilant on our path to really make sure that we don't get stuck in these rabbit holes, potholes. As you know, the path is narrow. We have to keep checking, you know, are you giving your energy away to anybody else? Are you standing firm in your own self and your own empowerment? Or are you giving your power away to something else, whether it be consciously or unconsciously? And so a lot of those psyops, a lot of the, whether it be in the astral or even in this reality, it's a setup to kind of pull you out, either to pull you out of your body. It's there, it's here to keep you in disempowerment, keep you in victim, and keep you enslaved, really. Ultimately, it's about keep, you know, the setup is so clever because it's all about keeping us dumbed down, keeping us, you know, keeping us enslaved. And we, the only way that we can truly, truly break free is to claim true sovereignty and really to stand firm within our own empowerment, our own boundaries, to make sure we're not, you know, giving any energy to any other beings. And this can also happen with our emotions. As you know, we can unconsciously give emotional louche as well to beings without even realizing it. If you're not responsibly processing through your emotions, that's what's going to be happening. So if you don't actually, if you're not taking full ownership, full responsibility, then, you know, who knows what you're, you know, what you're actually giving your energy to. So one of the things that I've noticed in the last 7 years is it gets more and more refined. The process is getting more and more refined, really, really checking in, you know, what's going on here? Am I putting this person on a pedestal, or do I see this person as my equal? Or, you know, it's checking all your relationships, checking your thoughts on everything, you know, and really investigating each and every thought as they come. Is this my thought, you know, or is this an influenced thought, or is this a cultural thought, or is this a programmed thought from my ancestry, or from a soul level, or you know, it's really beginning to unlayer those patterns, you know, in a very, very deep, deep way. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And there's an element also of ego activation where, you know, another thing that people have to understand is a lot of people that don't understand the inner plane aspect, the astral plane aspect, and the ability of these archontic beings to mass themselves and use telepathy and use kind of a like a synchronistic dog and pony act to make one believe that they're very special and whatnot. So when they hear terms or of groups like the Galactic Federation of Light, the reaction for many people is to roll their eyes and, oh, it's such silliness. But they don't realize that there's an insidious aspect to that, that there really is a consciousness out there in the inner planes, in the astral planes, that hook into people and activate the ego. And we want you to be an emissary of the Galactic Federation of Light. And pretty soon you have all these people out there giving a message. But ultimately, the beings, the consciousness behind the messages are archontic and have no intention of ever letting us out of this prison paradigm trap.
Absolutely. It's just another trap. And this is the thing, I think, to also remember. There are so many traps. We have to be so observant of all the traps. But yes, this is very interesting. I'm so glad you've mentioned the ego aspect, because the first time I realized that I was being abducted was actually when I was being told by the ETs how amazing I was. So this was in the very beginning. So it happened a few weeks maybe after my the awakening experience that I had in, 7 years ago. And I just remember them standing around me and literally saying, "You are amazing. You are amazing." And they just kept repeating it. And I remember I was kind of like in a half awake, half dream state. And when I came, you know, when I kind of came to, I immediately just knew. I was like, this is not right. This is, you know, this is very sinister. They're playing into some kind of a spiritual ego that I need to unravel and look at, you know. And that's exactly what I've had to do. I've had to really very honestly look at, you know, because of course the ego really is just wounded. It's wounded parts of ourselves that really want to be seen and heard and loved. And so again, it's pointing to doing deeper inner child core wounding, and so that we can again unravel these egoic aspects of ourselves with compassion and with care. And that's, you know, that's also what I'm really very passionate about now, because I work, you know, obviously I work on myself very thoroughly, but I also see clients most days who I also support, and I have done for years. And and I think, yeah, just to be able to stay very, very compassionate with ourselves. It's so easy to also jump into judgment, you know, especially when our egos are involved. But to just understand that, you know, where does this ego come from? You know, where is it actually coming from? It's coming from pain and wounding. And then that kind of helps to unravel it a bit more until, you know, the ego can become our ally rather than our enemy. but what the other thing that also plays into this, James, is the fact that this is why they, you know, these beings, they love for us to be traumatized and in trauma. Because every time we experience a trauma, the soul fragments. And the more fragmented we are, the more easily we're the more easily we can be manipulated by them, especially in our dream time, especially in the astral. So when we're not even aware, we can have parts of ourselves signing off contracts without us, the conscious self, even being aware of it. But that part is being manipulated because that's a part that's maybe been, you know, horrifically abused at some stage in your life, and you haven't you know, done the inner work and the thorough healing on that part. And then that part kind of almost like works against you. And again, this is all part of why really for me, the goal in all of this is to become fully soul and core self or spirit embodied, you know, to really become fully unified as a human being and to bring and integrate all of our traumatized parts. So healing trauma is an absolute must for everyone on this path. You know, this is, you know, we've all been traumatized, and it's not just individual trauma, but it's also collective trauma, you know, like what's going on in the world right now, for instance, with all the race stuff. You know, again, it's an old collective trauma that, you know, it's like sticking the finger into the wound and twisting it. And of course, then they know, you know, this is going to give us a lot of food. And as you and I were saying as well, there's a lot, you know, unfortunately right now, there's a lot of harvesting going on, because, you know, locking down the whole world in fear, and then also, you know, pushing on the race trauma, you know, the amounts of emotional louche that's kind of feeding these beings right now. I mean, it's just immense, you know, compared to what it even was, say, 4 months ago. So there's, I know, you know, from the experiences that I've had, that this is what's happening right now. They're harvesting for some reason. That's what they're doing. And, you know, this is, we have to become very, very, very watchful, very, very persistent in our approach to unraveling and healing and integration, you know, integrating ourselves, essentially, like all parts of ourselves, so that we're not easily manipulated and controlled, and so that we can also stand really firmly in ourselves. And then from that place, we can really create massive change, because from that place, we can help so many other people who are still stuck in those rabbit holes. You know, we can then really be an anchor for others as well as ourselves. But it's not an easy path. It's, you know, as you know, it's wow. I mean, sometimes I think about it, I'm like, how did I even end up here? It's very, very perilous, very, very challenging path. There's so much to unravel, so much to heal for us to truly, truly break free from this matrix control system and all of the psyops and all of the deceptions along the way. So, yeah.
You made a good point earlier about the astral planes, because unfortunately, due to the trauma, especially when one is subjected to repeated trauma, sexual trauma from childhood, the dissociation kicks in. But also there's the out of body astral plane dissociation, and people don't realize, and some of these MyLab controllers and MK controllers, that they've known this for some time, that they can actually program and direct distinct personalities in the astral form. It's not just a subject, if you will, a traumatized MK monarch or a MyLab who's under my control in the physical, but they can actually work through and direct and command these astral alters, these astral operators under my control. And the ETs and the interdimensional archontic beings know this as well, because that's one of the ways they really hook into us. As you know, Louisa, is in the astral state. We're already disembodied. We're already fragmented. Yeah. We're already dissociated. And because of all the repeated trauma, we're so suggestible in that state.
That is so spot on. And that is why, for instance, you'll have, say, two kids smoking pot. Maybe they've dissociated and had a lot of trauma. They play some violent video games, and the next thing they go off and they do a mass killing. They'll go and shoot, you know, children in their school. And that's that kind of like possession. It's targeting. They're able to get into the trauma, the dissociation, and then it's like almost like full, they can even do like a full body takeover. In certain cases, obviously, if you're very, very split from your core. But even in like our day-to-day, like with our day-to-day interactions with others, you know, it's amazing how I've even seen, again, in the last 7 years, dealing with people who are really in the conscious community, who are still, unfortunately, you know, sometimes being used as portals as well, to cause kind of, again, to cause reactions and to cause, because ultimately those beings are wanting to feed. So they'll keep pushing into those wounds, and they'll keep triggering just for those responses, so that they can also feed and continue to manipulate. And again, this is why it's so imperative and so incredibly important for us to continuously be so vigilant and looking at every trigger, like, why am I triggered right now? Is this valid? Or where is this coming from? Is this coming from my childhood? Is this, you know, and just to investigate that and to really heal it from the bottom up, rather than just the surface healing, which is, again, very much what I think was doing with the New Age stuff, which was very surfaced. In other words, not really looking at the whole process of healing, or the process of healing is denied. We just want to jump to where we want to be, which is like forgiveness or full acceptance, or jumping to those states of kind of bliss and love and joy. We just want to feel that, like that child or like a drug addict who just wants to feel an escape from their pain, you know. And it's just the only way actually out is through, you know. We've got to go through it. We've got to go back in and heal, really deeply heal these trauma woundings that we've gone through individually and collectively. So, you know, it's like, for instance, with what was going on with this, with the racial trauma at the moment, I think it was last week or the week before, just to give you an idea, someone wrote something on my Facebook page and it sort of triggered me. And then I really had to sit with it. I had to really investigate it. And I realized that I still carried some deep shame and guilt from my growing up in apartheid South Africa, and going onto like beaches, for instance, where they had these signs up saying whites only, and just the pain and the pain and the sadness of it all, and just how it directly affected my life and those and as an empath, also the people around me and the people I loved. And and so it gave me an opportunity to do a very deep healing on this collective kind of trauma, and going deeper into how it affected me as a child. Also, there were times where I remember being very, very young and being in the back of like a friend of mine's car, and her mum was just such a racist. I mean, she was a proper racist, and she was just, you know, throwing out all these racial slurs. And as a child, this was so painful for me. And I remember sitting there and wanting to just scream and tell her to stop, but I didn't feel powerful enough to do that. And again, the pain of that, that's a trauma. You know, any memory that we can remember that involves us, you know, feeling upset like that is a trauma. So that was, you know, experiencing a trauma. And again, that feeling of not being able to speak. And it was funny because the what was triggered on Facebook was someone was saying to me, you don't have the right to say anything because of, you know, because you're white. And so I could really access that trauma of like not being able to speak. And it really helped me to unravel that deeper wound within myself. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And very astute of you to be able to make that adjustment, to be able to turn a potential negative into a positive, coming from a South African background. That's kind of a low blow, especially in light of all the racial division and the race baiting that's going on today. That's like picking at a scab. And I was just also thinking, Louisa, too, that, you know, when the person made that comment, it was an ignorant comment on many levels, because they were probably oblivious of the amount of abuse you'd suffered from within your own family, which is white, right? So there was like all these different levels of having to work through trauma, the shame. And as you know, one of the hallmarks of trauma is the inability later to establish proper emotional, psychological, physical, and energetic boundaries, to the point where, when you look at it from the esoteric, spiritual, supernatural level, a lot of the unhealed New Agers, they delve into all kinds of practices, which really opened them up. Now, in the time we got left in the first segment, and if necessary, I'd like you to continue with this in the next segment, Louisa.
Sure.
When you caught on to the deception being played by these ETs, you caught them red-handed trying to activate your ego, you realized that there was something incongruent at work because you had all this stuff you still needed to work through, yet they were trying to convince you that you were a spiritually really evolved being, and you knew deep down that, you know, you weren't quite there yet. When you caught them and you realized that, well, when they realized that you had caught on to them, did that change the nature of the experiences in any way? Like, for example, did the mask come down? Did they still appear the same way, or did the tone, the tenor of their message change in any way?
Yeah, it did. It totally changed. It all became way more aggressive. And, you know, at that point, it was then catching on that they know, like, they can't get away with that. Like, so they've just gone in all really, it became very, very dark. So, you know, they just very aggressively implanted me with, you know, implants that would also, this is the other, another aspect of these implants, by the way, is nightmares. You know, I was getting.
Absolutely. The ability, you know, of them to plug into that, at that level, but please continue.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I'd never experienced anything like it before in my life, you know, and this gave me a true insight into the consciousness of those beings, because the nightmares that I was having, okay, so the nightmares, they all have the same similar themes. Okay, so the themes would either be me high on drugs, or there would be some kind of a stabbing or a murder. There would be sexual abuse in it, either me doing it or someone else doing it to me or to my children, or, you know, or there would be some kind of, you know, just violence, torture. So the nightmares became extremely, extremely aggressive. And then, of course, if I had, because there's a difference between subconscious mind dreaming and astral experiences. So of course, with the astral experiences, that also ramped up majorly. So I had experiences, for instance, where I would wake up, but obviously I'm still sleeping. And then I would be lying on my bed and there would be all these bugs crawling all over my body or inside of my body. And obviously I would be flushed with fear. And I would be kind of lying there in terror until I'd realize, oh no, I'm still sleeping. And then I'd wake myself up and I'd still be in another dream and there'd be something else going on, you know, and then until I'm finally would be able to wake myself out of that state. And then I would be like, okay, right now it's tapping into a fear of not being safe. I better do some work on that fear. So again, I mean, I've had to learn to really look at every, like with the racial story, you know, everything, every single trigger, every time you go through anything, there's an opportunity for healing and growth. So this is the one thing that I know now, like without a shadow of a doubt, there's all, you can always do that. You can always find that opportunity for growth. And boundaries, my boundaries have become so kick ass in the last 7 years, which is just fantastic. You know, I feel really strong in myself now. And that's just that's been a real gift. So a lot of, even though I've had some very aggressive attacks and very aggressive experiences, it has made me incredibly strong. It's almost as if I've been literally living through my worst nightmares and my worst fears, and I've been facing them bit by bit. And by having done that, I am then able to break more and more and more free to really be myself, my true self. So that's the other side of it, you know, the higher perspective, the opportunity for growth and healing and for strengthening, really, really strengthening ourselves. But it is, we have to be willing to always look, you know, why is this happening? What is going on here? Am I projecting? Is this hooking into a wound? And then also still be willing to also look at, but, you know, does this mean that the other person is off the hook? Do I still need to confront that person? And often we do. So, you know, it's never straightforward, James, as you know. And it's an interesting journey, but it's the experiences that I've had with these beings, for sure, definitely darkened, became very, very aggressive. Very, very aggressive in many ways, and very, very challenging for me at the time as well, because, you know, I was just kind of going through it and doing the best that I could at the time with everything that was actually going on. But now in hindsight, I can understand as well that, you know, in some ways I've had to go through those experiences to really, really step deeply into who I am, and also to be able to be a strong force on this planet, not just for myself but also for others. And I'd say that definitely did happen.
Well, we'll delve more into some of these issues in the second segment, because the Nightmare on Elm Street element to this, the Freddy Krueger element to it, it just shows in a very vivid way our multidimensionality, because due to these plugins that we've been talking about, for lack of a better term, to use a common computer term, they can drag us down into their nether dimensions. And where we're immersed in their reality, a stage-managed reality, which they create for us, so full of horror, full of horrific things to see and experience. And it taps into primal fears, primordial fears, archetypal fears. And
absolutely.
And when we realize that they have the means to do that, then that just tells us that we have to up our game. But anyhow, we're just getting started. Louisa, you want to tell our listeners your website?
Yes, it's louisahealing.com. So, just www.louisahealing.com. Have a look.
Yeah, and Louisa does do consulting sessions too. So definitely, if anything that you've heard thus far, in our interview and also in the next segment, is of interest to you, and you feel that Louisa may be able to help you, by all means, contact her.
One of the things that I'll say just to that as well, James, is that I don't do the work for anyone else. And, you know, there'll be many, many healers out there, many healers who will be promising you, that they can remove your implants for you, that they can be, basically doing the work for you. And I would just say, be very, very careful. I myself ended up in a lot of troubling situations with healers like that. And none of them were ever able to remove anything from me. Only I was ever able to remove anything from myself by doing deep, deep, deep inner work. And that's what I support my clients with, is to do the work from the ground up. So this is, you know, if you see me for a healing session, I'm not going to be closing my eyes and telling you to just lie back and do, you know, none of that. We're going to be doing deep psychological work. I work with various different techniques, such as tapping, meditation techniques and kinesiology techniques as well. But we go in deep into the core wounding, into the inner child, the shadow work. And that is how you will clear implants, if that is an issue that any of your listeners are having. So I just wanted to be clear on that, James.
Yes, yes. Thank you for sharing that. Because what I know from opinions and experiences of others that I have a tremendous amount of respect for, they have gone to people who claim to be healers, and then the upshot of that was they were in a worse state after they had these healing sessions than they were before. So anyhow, we reached the end of a fascinating and thought-provoking first segment with our guest Louisa Love. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do here at the Cosmic Switchboard Show, please go to our website, thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member. And also, please check out our natural supplement line. We're really pleased to be offering natural supplements that we feel, and of course, you know, all the medical disclaimers notwithstanding, we're not making any promises, but we do believe in these products. Otherwise, we wouldn't have them on our website. So please take a look at them. Anyhow, we've reached the end of the first segment, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.